Hey, podcast listeners, thank you for listening to the podcast. Please rate us wherever you listen. It does help out the podcast. Look, I was at a recent partner event where I had no speaking parts, and that was by design. But then I was pulled on stage. So I ended up having a chat with Kevin Nugent, no relation to Ted Nugent, by the way, unfortunately, who is a data and AI global partner sales leader at IBM. And we talked about the current market around AI. As a result of this impromptu dialogue, the recording is not the best, so I apologize for that. But if you can cut us a bit of slack, I hope you enjoy the dialogue, which is short and to the point. Until next time, thank you for listening again. Bye.
Let's go.
You're listening to Making Data Simple, where we make the world of data effortless, relevant, and yes, even fun.
Go. So I'm just from north of Boston. I'm actually in southern New Hampshire.
You know where I'm from?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. You a Taylor Swift fan?
Yeah.
You bet. My first question, what's happened to Boston?
Yeah, it's been a collapse. It's been a nightmare. We had a good 20-year run, eight or nine cumulative championships. You know, it was great. The last couple of years have been rough. But you know what? We gave it for a long time. Now we got to eat it. Part of the process, part of being a fan.
So was it the quarterback or the coach?
Quarterback. We've had a sample size of a couple of years post TB, and the record doesn't lie.
But you know who's winning now, don't you?
IBM.
That is true. Good answer. You're prepared for that. By the way, I reviewed, no question within prior. It's Kansas City that's winning along with IBM. All right, I'm going to jump into AI. Again, I'm going to ask the question that I want to ask and introduce yourself to begin with.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I know a few of you in the room. We've definitely emailed, but my name is Kevin Nugent, Global Data and AI Leader for our ecosystem sales, really working, you know, with our geo leaders globally and our partners globally, not only one, how to go to market with our ecosystem sellers, but also any support that you need. What challenges are you facing?
Okay, for those that are listening, this is Making Data Simple. All right, you ready?
I guess so.
Sit down and get ready. You know what my first question is?
I know a question that I proposed to you to ask, but no, I have no idea what your first question is going to be.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. You said anything AI, Gen AI, Watson X, AI for business?
Sure.
Should I short NVIDIA?
Let it ride.
What? You're going to let it ride? Why would I let it ride?
Because the market has the demand.
Right now, the market has the demand. How long do I let that ride?
Over the next several years, we're projected about $4 trillion in cap on Gen AI alone. Sky's the limit to the moon.
So you're betting, you're all in on NVIDIA?
Absolutely.
Is everybody else all in on NVIDIA? Who's going to short it? Oh, there's a couple of people that are going to short it. Why do you think they would short it?
That's a great question. You know, I'm gonna throw it back.
He throws it right back. I will answer it, but I'll tell you what I'll do, because I know it's a tough question. But why don't you give us the state of the AI business as you see it, and then I'll counter that with my thoughts on NVIDIA and what I would do.
Sure.
That talks to the state of the business.
Sure. So what are we seeing, right? From all the analysts, we're seeing a significant market demand, right? $4 trillion market cap over the next 5 years. Now, the crazy part is 2 years ago, only 25% of businesses were claiming to have AI or planning on bringing AI into their business. This year, that number has rose to over 80% are planning on adopting AI this year, right? So not only are we seeing the market demand from analysts, but we're seeing it internally. You know, talking with partners globally, they're getting conversations from customers who haven't wanted to work with IBM in years. And so, you know, we are sparking new conversations with customers who pretty much wrote us off. And that's a pretty cool thing.
Fair enough. All right, so you want me to answer probably now.
I'd love to know the short.
Look, if you're asking me, right now, I would say, no, I'm not gonna short it for at least probably 6 to 12 months because of the momentum in the market. And they've kind of got a monopoly as it stands right now. However, personally, this is me talking, hopefully we're all friends here, where I see the market going, I think the models will get smaller and they'll require less GPUs. That's what we're seeing already. In fact, by example, I just downloaded a model to my laptop you know, it's mistral. All you need is inferencing, but it uses my CPU, like ChatGPT, let's say like 4 gig. I can get my questions answered. My point in that is just the models will get smaller. They will require less GPUs. There are going to be more players in the market, competitors that are going to try to take away GPUs, have different sources of compute power, but also come out with direct competitors with GPUs as well. So, yeah, I think there will be a time we're going to short the market. It's like anything. It's like the dot-com bubble.
And that's why you're a technical leader.
Well, I don't know. This is not, what do they say when you give stock advice? This is not a financial advice. But I do think this market is changing incredibly fast. I've had some people I've asked that question to. I've had customers that ask me that question that would say 6 months. Some people say like more like 2 years. Anyway, so moving on. So you already talked a little bit about the state of the market. I don't like to talk about products so much, but we are IBM. watsonx, what is watsonx?
So watsonx is IBM's answer to generative AI, right? So within the watsonx platform, we have .data.ai, right, where we have our foundation models, right? Not only IBM built, but we also have best of breed from our open relationship with Hugging Face. Then, you know, an important aspect of this is dot governance, right? Being able to govern those models, making sure that all the data is transparent and that, you know, we are monitoring for our regulatory risk and compliance. And then on all of that, we need to make sure that our workloads are running in the right place at the right cost at the right time. So through dot data, right, we're able to work with a number of cloud data warehouses on-prem, as well as, you know, low-cost object storage. So making sure that your workloads are meeting SLAs, but also the most cost-efficient price. So really a total package for any of your, not only generative AI, but AI needs, and, you know, that includes machine learning as well as predictive modeling.
So I see in three parts then, Watson.ai, which is what everybody's talking about, WatsonX.data, the data infrastructure behind it, and it's watsonx governance. What do you think is the most, I don't want to say important piece of that, they're all incredibly important in their own right. Which area is going to lift the opportunity for the people in the room?
Yeah, so obviously I think .ai is just tip of the spear. However, right, our differentiator is governance. Being able to understand the full life cycle of these models, not only from data ingestion, but through the process. The really important part is going to be understanding who's managing these models. How is the data getting in there? What data is what's the outputs, right? And being able to audit that through the entire process. Because once you take these foundation models on, that is part of your brand. That is part of your business. And it is, you know, it's your company's name on that. So if you're having a customer service virtual agent and something comes out that's not appropriate, that's not the model's fault. That's your company's fault, right? So understanding the models you're working with, the potential outputs and the implications that go with that are vital to the success of implementation.
Why IBM? Why should these folks be thinking IBM? They can also probably sell Microsoft, AWS, Google. Why IBM?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things builds off that last answer is we are taking governance extremely seriously. And this isn't new, right? IBM has been in this game for 70 years, since the Dartmouth AI Summit of 1956, right? So AI has been in this space for a long time. And over the past 10 years specifically, right, we have not only started our advances and been a leader in AI, machine learning, predictive learning, but we've started infusing all of our own products with foundation models. You're seeing faster time to market. You're seeing better improvements. The next part is why IBM? It's because we are open. It's not IBM or not IBM. It's IBM and Microsoft, it's IBM and AWS, it's IBM and Google, right? Because we want to give our clients the choice of how they want to run their business, but we want to give them the warm and fuzzies about wrapping that up in a nice show.
If I may, I contend that we've got a very different view on AI than I think a lot of the other players in the industry. First and foremost, you mentioned we are open, meaning We will work with other models, third-party models. We will work with your own models, or we have our own models. Now, our own models, we identify unlimited. Most of our competitors, they have a limit, a cap on it, for our models. Because we have fact sheets that go along with it and tell you everything that, that's part of that model, so you know what you're getting into. By example, if you look, Google has a, I might get this wrong here, but I know Google has a, and I'm not picking on Google here, I'm just telling you facts. Google has a T5 model, the data set's called C4. They got 200 million copyright infringements in that data, 200 million. So if you're an enterprise customer, you gotta ask yourself, am I okay with that? I mean, that's a pretty big risk. I think the way they look at it, again, this is me talking, we'll take that chance. Google will take that chance. They've done it before, right? When they did it before, they actually went to libraries and asked the universities to copy books. And the university said, yeah, you copy books, so they use it for their search engine. What they didn't do is they didn't get the permission of the authors of those books. So what did they do? They ended up paying out that. There was another company called Napster that said, hey, we're going to sell everybody's music. We'll see how that ends. They don't exist today.
But I do think the exciting part of this, you know, we do have to give a nod to ChatGPT, right, for bringing awareness to the market, for democratizing it, for line of business users or people at home to download this application and be able to understand, hey, I can use AI in real life and be productive. Now, the difference is we're not just here to do a large model that nobody can afford to do a Q&A. It's how do we operationalize, right? How do we drive ROI from those models? And that's what we intend to do, right? We're going in and we have proven use cases around customer service, HR, and code, which are great ways to start. However, we're gonna see this develop even further, right? Cybersecurity, geospatial data, other lines of business, foundation models are gonna be available for them as well. So IBM's focus isn't the average consumer. It's how to operationalize these for business to get apps faster time to market and be able to increase earnings or reduce risk.
But look, I love ChatGPT because they woke everybody up. I'll give them that credit, right? But the magic wasn't in ChatGPT, like it's the chat portion and the GPT portion. It's the transformer that goes along with the foundational model. And we've been doing foundational models for years at IBM. Now we have the advent of the transformer. That's what changed the game here. So what we're trying to do to carry on our differentiation a bit, again, if I may, is that we want you to keep your data. We want things to be safe. We don't want the copyright problem. We want to make sure you have fact sheets, you know what you're getting into. There's no legal issues with our foundational models. If you want to use other words, you can use those as well. But what I mean by that, we envision you using your data, probably in smaller model types, for that matter, because you don't need these huge models that take a lot of GPUs and cost for inferencing when you can do a smaller model, and then you can use your own data, and then you could use what's called a RAG methodology. You've got the foundational model. You use that, you use prompting, et cetera. It goes, checks the RAG methodology, looks at your data to verify the correct answer, if you will, so we can get correct answers so we're not hallucinating all the time. That's our vision. That's how we're driving it. So yeah, when it's open, it's trusted, any platform, I don't know anybody that does any platform, doesn't matter if it's on-prem, it's any cloud. Sure, we'd like you to be on iCloud, our cloud, but you can be on AWS, you can be on Microsoft. There's a lot of differentiators, I think.
Yeah, I mean, to your mentioned, right? Targeted, you know, there's not one model to rule them all, right? We're gonna use different models, smaller models for different things so that we can get to market faster. And then your point, empowering, right? Yes, we do have models off the shelf that probably work for a lot of use cases, but through fine tuning and prompting, you're gonna be able to get those answers and you know, those results that you're really looking for.
Can these guys make any money on WatsonX?
So, you know, as
that's a serious question, right?
As we kicked off, right?
Or is it a science experiment?
So I think that's also a great point and something to dispel, right? So as we kicked off, right, there's clearly a market demand. Our customers are clamoring for it. But one of the biggest things is we need to help them figure out, you know, what use cases are we going to use it for? What business processes are we going to infuse it with? Now, I think the beauty of this is it's not as expensive as you might think coming out the gate. And I think that's a good thing because our customers are in an age of they can try before they buy. There's a lot of options out there. So what we can do is we can get them started with these use cases, you as partners, right? We have a lot of leads coming in. IBM is putting a significant amount of marketing resources, not just in the day-to-day AI, but in WatsonX significantly. Have you ever seen a commercial for a product at IBM outside of WatsonX? If you have, it's been a while, right? And that's how much of a belief IBM has into it. And so for you as partners, the advantage of bringing this in, you know, especially if you're not a data and AI partner today, let's say you're an IBM partner of a different product, or you're not an IBM partner, right? We have a solution that people want right now. And we have been doing very well on the execution. And so you can tie this into the other areas that you support, right? You don't have to be a data and AI partner, right? If you're a storage seller, right? We need a repository. That was a tongue twister for a second. You know, if you're automation, right? Automation flows very well with the rest of the portfolio. So these are things that, you know, you do well today, but there's a huge market share that you're gonna have an opportunity with your customers. Now, outside of just reselling licenses, you're gonna need to help your customers not only implement these things, but help them build their practices, help them build their skills. And once you get in there, they can see results, right? You're gonna have even more opportunity to expand use cases, expand into different lines of business, and hopefully make them, you know, a more efficient company.
What skills to get started?
So I think that's great. So any generative AI skills, if you have foundation model, if you have skills around foundation models, if you have machine learning, predictive learning. But also, we have a lot of data management partners that have experience with databases, warehouses that have, you know, taken on .data very well. And then, you know, your consulting and advisory skills, you know, knowing how to understand the customer, understand the solution, architect the you know, what can help them, and then deliver. But from an IBM perspective, if you don't have those technical skills right away, we'll help you with that, right? We have a number of badges and proficiencies from IBM training is where you should start. We have what we call the generative AI client briefing that really walks them through from what is a foundational model to what IBM is doing around it. And then we have continuous advanced skilling, we call level 4, level 5, and continuing enablement in sessions all the time. So we are not in a lack of skilling and upskilling for partners, but we also have a bunch of resources that we're helping our partners to be successful with. So by the use of working with our client engineering team, right, they're there to help with free POCs for right use cases, which are 4 to 6 weeks that you can shadow, right? You can learn from them and you can develop skills that way. We have a great expert labs team that can augment your skill base. Again, you can shadow and help to move your customers in your sales cycles forward. And then IBM has invested over 200% in additional technical resources from our PTS organization to our in-brand subject matter experts specifically focused on WatsonX. So if you're nervous that, hey, we don't have the skills today, that is, we are absolutely going over the top to provide people resources, content and assets to help you get there.
We're getting near into time. I do want to say one other thing. I'd be even a little bit bolder in that I think you've got to learn AI one way or another. Whether it's IBM or not, you've got to learn AI. I would tell you I'm responsible for every product at IBM, whether it's all the infrastructure, storage, power, Z, I'm responsible for sustainability, go down the list. And every customer wants to have that chat. The number one reason to call is just to talk about, it's usually Gen AI, but I will say that I remind a lot of customers more than just Gen AI. There's various forms of AI, and we've got solutions off the truck right now. Like an insurance customer comes to me and says, I need Gen AI, and I wanted to look at the damage of the car and in real time be able to use their mobile to say, hey, here's the damage, and they can issue a claim right now if they know they're going to do it anyway, save them a bunch of time in the claim processing, etc. And I said, look, you can do that today without Gen AI. I mean, Gen AI may be added to it, but like we've got Maximo visual inspection, we've got a lot of different forms of AI, but I guess my point is you got to understand what AI is so you can talk to that. It leads right back to storage. it leads right back to mainframe. On the mainframe, we're doing Watson Coda System. Most people don't know that we've got a code gen model that has supports 115 different languages. But I would just repeat that while it supports 115 languages, that's not the game we're in. The models will keep the
models. To your point, it starts the conversation. Closing point, right? Historically, IBM partners have been around 20% of at least the software business, right? In 2023, that number rose to just about 30%. And if anyone saw the article from Arvind that came out this week, he wants that number to be 50%. So that just shows you the focus in our leadership sees where we're going to grow and the commitment to our partners.
This is fun stuff. This is what we like to do.
It's exciting. Like, you feel the excitement. And that's all, you know, I'm talking to partners all over the world.
All right, man, you passed the test. You did it. Nice job. Thanks, guys. Thank you. We love that.